Romans chapter 4. My pages apart here. First, we're going to turn, before we read Romans chapter 4, if you go to Genesis 15. Well, first, we've got a few passages to read before we get into Romans chapter 4 this morning. Genesis 15, just a few verses. It says in Genesis 15, "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come up forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he, Abraham, believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. He believed the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Just over to chapter 17, just a few verses. 17, verse 23. And Abraham took Ishmael, his son, and all that were born in his house, and all that were brought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the selfsame day, as God had said unto him. And Abraham was 90 years old and 9 when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, and as Ishmael his son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, in the selfsame day was Abraham circumcised and Ishmael his son. And all the men of his house, born in the house, and bought with money of the stranger, were circumcised with him." And then going over to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, a few verses here. In fact, we'll read a portion of Genesis chapter 3. "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only but I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect in the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you in the Spirit worketh miracles among you. Doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them." Then over to our passage of Romans chapter 4. Just looking, we'll just take a portion at a time and just look at it. First of all, before we look at this, in Revelation chapter 1, we saw God's righteousness revealed in the gospel. God's righteousness revealed in the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ. And God's wrath is revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. And humanity rejected God's revelation, turning to idolatry and immorality. A key verse for chapter 1 would be, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men." So we find that the problem is not ignorance. The problem is not ignorance, because they knew God at one time, but they did not worship him as God. It's not ignorance, it's willful rebellion. Humanity refused the light that God gave them. That's chapter 1. Then in chapter 2, impartial judgment of God. Impartial. Jews are equally guilty as Gentiles, having the law does not exempt them. God judges by truth, that's his truth, according to deeds without partiality, and true circumcision is inward of the heart by the Spirit. And a key verse for chapter 2 would be, for there is no respect of persons with God. And the final thought, possessing religious privileges does not guarantee righteousness. God judges the heart. Then in chapter 3, we find that guilt of humanity before God. Both Jews and Gentiles are under sin. There's none righteous, no, not one. The law stops every mouth and proves the whole world guilty before God. But now righteousness, apart from the law, is revealed through faith in Jesus Christ. And the key verse is, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the thought is, God's verdict is clear. All stand guilty, but his provision of grace is available through Christ. That's just a little summary of the first three chapters. Now, in chapter 4, verses 1 to 8, let's just read those verses. What shall we say then, that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he had whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. These verses show us that Abraham and David were justified by faith and not by works. That's what we learn in this passage, justified by faith, not by works. When we looked at Galatians, it says in Galatians, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So when we look at both Abraham and David, we look at Abraham's life and see, was he a righteous man? He was a man chosen by God, but he was a man who passed his wife off as his sister in two occasions. And he was a man who rushed ahead of the purposes of God and married Hagar, which brought a very big problem to the nation of Israel, even down to this day. So we find in Abraham a man who sort of was a man of God, but a man who could fail. And so how could a man who failed be justified by keeping the works of the law and find himself justified before God by his works? We're told in that verse in Galatians it's not possible, because he had already had failure in his life. But then if we look at David, he was called a man after God's own heart. He was chosen by God for the purposes. Yet he was a man who committed adultery with Bathsheba, then had her husband killed in the front line of battle deliberately. So you see in both Abraham, men chosen of God, men on the long range of things, and their perspective was for God, and they were used mightily of God. But because of their sins and failures in not keeping the law, they'd already failed. They'd already failed in keeping the law, committing adultery, murder, stealing, all the things, and deceit. So we find that Abraham and David were confronted with this. Abraham, as we read back in Genesis, he believed in God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. It's an amazing thing that people like to work to find their way to God. Especially in light of the fact that any work that we could do to bring us closer to God has already been done. All the work was done by the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet we want to feel in our heart, I want to work my way to God. I want to go on a pilgrimage. I want to do this or that. And yet it's offered as a free gift. Here, just take it. Acknowledge that you stand before God unrighteous. Acknowledge that there's nothing you can do to be right before God, and acknowledge that Jesus Christ has done it all and offers it to you as a free gift, no strings attached. It's an amazing thing. We look at Abraham. What should we say then, that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, is found? For if Abraham were just by works, he had something to glory about, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. That was way back ever before the Lord had gone to the cross. And remember that all those who had become believers in the Old Testament, their salvation too was dependent upon a future event. But God found them righteous because they believed in him by faith, just believing what God said. God told Abraham to leave his home in Ur of the Chaldeans and go to a land he'd never been to before. Well, at that time, Abraham was a Gentile. He was a Gentile to begin with, and God called him, gave him this special favor. He trusted in God by faith alone, and he went down a long path. There was, you see, when Abraham became what we might call a Christian or a believer, there was no commentaries to read. There was no real scripture, possibly had some of the Old Testament scripture to read. There was no example of other believers. Basically, what Abraham was doing was writing the history. He began the story of faith in God, true faith by faith alone. So Abraham was on that path, and he believed and trusted in God by faith alone. His verse 4 says, "To him that works is the reward not reckoned of grace but of debt." And we know what debt we have. The wages of sin is death. That's the wages we earn, the debt that has to be paid, because we cannot please God through our works. But to him that doesn't work but believes in God by faith, that's counted for righteousness. It's all that God asks of us. Believe in Jesus Christ. He did it all for you. Believe that you're unrighteous. Believe that you have no ability to work for a right standing before God. Believe that Jesus did it all. Just trust him by faith. Just believe by faith. He said to doubting Thomas, "Blessed are they who believe without seeing." What a thing to say. And then we come to David. He was a man after God's own heart. But the blessedness, it says in verse 6, of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Blessed are they whose sin, iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. This is a gift. It's a gift. We're not saved by good works. We're saved unto good works. But the gift of salvation and being righteous before God is a gift. Because what I'm clothed in now, what you are clothed in now, as we come before God, is perfect righteousness, but it's not my own. I'm clothed in the perfect righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. In his righteousness and in his merits, same as Abraham and David, I stand before God, a holy God, righteous. And we have access to the holiest of holies. I'm so glad that the weaknesses and failures of Abraham and David are recorded. There's a lot of people who hear the gospel and say, "I am so sinful. I'm so evil for the things I've done in my life that God would never want me." Well, we just have to look back at the deception and the adultery and the murder and see all that God's people have done before they were saved, or the people of God who would become the people of God have done before they trusted by faith. Then we go on to part 2. So first, Abraham and David were justified by faith, not by works. Now, beginning at verse 9, we find out that Abraham was justified by grace, not by the works of the law. Let's read these verses. Verse 9. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in circumcision, uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had, yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also, and the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. So we read the passage in verse chapter 15 of Genesis, where Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. Then we flipped over to chapter 17, and there's a 14-year span between chapter 7 of 15 and what happened in chapter 14. But the question we're faced here in this chapter, when did Abraham believe in God? When did his faith save him? Was it after circumcision or before? And we find out very clearly as we read their record in history that His faith saved him before. So what did circumcision mean? It was a sign of something, a sign before God, a covenant. What already happened in the past is now shown through this symbol. We see it in baptism today. We're baptized, and we later go through the waters of baptism as a symbol of what already took place in our life way back then or whenever we were saved. It's a symbol and a sign. So God gave this symbol to the nation of Israel that they were his chosen people. It's a symbol that God laid upon them to follow, and he received that sign after. So that the Jewish laws and the laws of circumcision, all the other Jewish laws, they weren't even there at that time. And Abraham believed in God by faith alone. Just believe and trust in God. Verse 13 goes on, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham and to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which of the law be heirs, then faith is made void and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end a promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that which also is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be, not as though they were. So in Abraham's call and his acceptance of God by faith, he became the father of the nation of Israel. But there was more. He became the father of many nations. It says he became the father of all those who accepted God through this same faith that he had. So Abraham is the father of all who believe. He was the one first called, the one first trusted in God in this way, and he's the father of the nation of Israel, and he's the father of all who believe. Because the law worketh wrath, and the only way we can get away with around it is if there is no laws at all. And up until the law was given, there was no law, and so people were not accountable for the sins that they committed, and yet people still died because sin was prevalent in the world. So Abraham is the father of all who believed, who received Jesus Christ on this side of Calvary by faith alone. And on that side, all of their faith pointed to Calvary, and God would justify them through the blood of Jesus Christ when he died upon that cross. It's all of the Lord, both Old and New Testament. All salvation, old and new, depends upon the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Abraham was justified by grace and not by the works of law. He was justified by faith, not by his own works. Then this last portion, 18 to 25, it says, Abraham was justified by resurrection, not by human power. Beginning at verse 18. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. So Abraham is justified by the resurrection of Jesus Christ and not by human efforts. Remember, with the Lord Jesus laid down his life for our sins. All our sins were borne down into death with him. But when he rose and ascended, he rose again for our justification. So Abraham had this. Him and Sarah were 89 and 99. They had no babies, no children. Abraham had a son, Ishmael, but that was not the promised seed. And at that age, we find that, you know, God has a purpose in all of this. There's a picture here for sure. Abraham said, you know, where both of us are past childbearing. My wife has never had any children. We really wanted a son. God promised us one, but at this age, we still don't have a son. When God wants to work in someone's life, and God wants to show his glory and his honor, those people he works in have to come to an end of themselves. They have to come to an end of themselves. Abraham and Sarah, there could be no part that they played because it was totally out of their hands. And yet at God's appointed time, at 89 and 99, suddenly this little baby was placed in Sarah's womb. They had the baby completely out of their ability, completely out of the time of childbirth and childbearing, to demonstrate the miracles and powers of God, that he is able, and it's in him alone that we have to have faith to do these things. If Abraham never had faith, God could have never done this work through him. But he did have faith. And we have to be brought to the end of ourselves a lot of time. We like to do things in our own power. And sometimes we forget that the work that God does in us through us is the power of the Holy Spirit working through us. And he can do mighty and wonderful things in and through us. It says in verse 19, Abraham being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. And because of his sure faith and trust in God to fulfill and keep his word, Abraham and Sarah conceived, and there was Isaac, Abraham's son Isaac, who is through God's channel again would eventually be told to take your son up on Mount Moriah and offer him for a sacrifice. Abraham was put to the test, but his faith stayed strong. He obeyed God. God works in the power and might of the Holy Spirit. God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And the wonderful things he's done through Abraham are examples to how we should be faithful and let God's Holy Spirit work through us today. So it's imputed to him for righteousness. But then verse 23. Now all of this, it was not written for his Abraham's sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who is delivered for our offenses or raised again for our justification. This is divine imputation. This is what being born again means, that God imputes to us or places to our account the righteousness of Jesus Christ and seals us with his Holy Spirit. This is the only way we can live as believers in this world. We can't do it on our own power and our own might, and we're never asked to. Abraham became a great man of faith, and so did David. Even though they stumbled and fell, yet they rose up and became great warriors of the faith. All of the Psalms that David wrote, all of the things that Abraham was called to do. And the example it says here is is for us, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus from the dead. Imputed righteousness. Because I have no ability to stand before a holy God in my own righteousness. I have none. I have none. And these are wonderful truths. So in verses 1 to 8, Abraham and David were justified by faith, not by works. In 9 to 17, Abraham was justified by grace, not by law. In verses 18 to 25, Abraham was justified by resurrection, not by human effort. Faith, grace, and the wonderful resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our justification. These are very vital truths for us to be fully aware of. And these studies in Romans, I hope that they open up some of the treasures and thoughts and the gems of truth for our hearts. Let's just close in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the truths that are before us. It's all of thee, Heavenly Father. All that was needed for our salvation was brought about through the work of Jesus Christ. He did a work that we could never do. Any attempt on our part would always end in failure. But God became man to do for man what man cannot do for himself. And through that death, he bore our sins. through his resurrection, a perfect work was declared, and we are justified. We stand clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ before a holy God, invited to come boldly to the holiest of holies in the merits and grace of Jesus Christ. This is staggering to the mind, Heavenly Father. But we are not saved by works. We're not saved by any kind of works that we can do. We're saved by grace. We're justified by faith. And we're justified by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. May these thoughts be hid deep in our mind and our heart. And we may honor Jesus Christ with our life. We ask this in his name, giving thanks. Amen.